Welcome to DevCast, brought to you by Devrel Smith, the right people. DevCast is where property meets people, industry figures, news and views, what it takes to be your best. So sit back, earphones on, and enjoy this edition of DevCast. Hello everyone, and welcome to DevCast. In this week's episode, we are catching up with Mum, wife, businesswoman, and recent award winner, Louise Devrel Smith.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the studio, Louise. Thanks for coming in, and a big congratulations on your recent award.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Not a problem. Yeah, so for those who are unaware, Louise was awarded the Trailblazer Award at Property Week's Resi Convention last week for her contribution to innovation in the industry as the founder of the Daisy Chain. Louise, could you begin by giving a bit of a background on the Daisy Chain for our listeners?
Sure. So, Daisy Chain has been live for just over 2 years. I had previously been working in recruitment, and in that time I had 3 babies. And after each child going back to school, I was kind of meeting so many parents at the school gates, mainly mums, looking for flexible jobs and couldn't find any. So as I'd been working in recruitment, I thought about a new way of trying to connect these parents to flexible employers. So the concept was launched. We had 2 really big property companies first to join us. So that was Savills and Knight Frank.
Amazing.
Fully got behind what we were trying to achieve. And my main focus is actually helping women. And so for lots of women, once they become mums, flexible working is really quite critical for them. So we try and match them with employers that can offer them a role that could fit around their childcare. How it's developed over the last 2 years is that obviously we know flexible working is not just for parents, it's for people. But it's how I started. My passion is trying to help women, and the parents that I meet is where my passion is. But yeah, like I say, we know it's for everybody. Flexible working.
Cool. So flexible working, it's now seen as an umbrella term. So it can mean so many different things. So can you expand and explain why it's so important in the modern day work life?
Yeah.
And especially for women?
Yeah, I mean, flexible working is a term that's defined as giving a person, an employee, the flexibility that they need to fit around their life. So that can include part-time work, it can include freelance, it can include job shares, project work, and it obviously includes full-time but with flexi. So flexible working, I think lots of people just think it's kind of flitting in and out and doing it when you want. It doesn't mean that necessarily at all. It's kind of more that you can kind of build your work around your lifestyle. So that's why it doesn't necessarily have to be around parents. And flexible working can also mean, you know, if an employer can be slightly flexible on what time you start in the office, if you can work from one day at home from the office or remote working. So there's so many different types of flexible working. And I just hope that employers don't get kind of too nervous about it, and hoping, you know, lots of employers think that if we suddenly say, oh, everyone can work flexibly, that everyone's going to kind of rush to their HR department and ask for flexible working. But everyone's different. So what you might want out of your work-life balance, what I need from my work-life balance is different.
Cool. So would you say flexible working is the future?
I think definitely. I mean, one of the main things that can allow us to work flexibly is technology. How technology has, you know, improved even in the last 10 years has allowed us to work wherever we want. We don't need to be sat at a desk. So the technology is just going to get better and better. And we don't need to be sitting in an office. There are some jobs that need to be done in a certain place, but the majority of jobs don't. And actually, millennials are really wanting that, and that's meant to be their number one thing they look for in a new job, is how flexible that job is.
Yeah, and of course, and it increases productivity as well. There's extensive research on that. So is there any prejudgment against it?
I think definitely for mothers and for parents, I think that it's kind of, I suppose it's the same with any employee that you take on, that some employees are going to be great and some aren't. And giving them flexibility or not shouldn't really make a difference if they're going to be good at their job. If an employee hires someone, they're basically trusting them to work for them. And so if you can't trust them to not be working when they're meant to be working, then that relationship's not going to work anyway. I think, you know, parents do get penalised because they kind of, you know, might think that employers might think that mums, you know, want to sit at home and would rather be hanging out with Johnny watching TV, but really they're not. That's just not, that's not the realistic angle to go down.
Yeah. So what are its key benefits?
Well, I think giving somebody the trust to work wherever they want, it's great for their mental health. You know, the stats show that we work so many hours overtime per year, that's actually really quite negative on your mental health. So to give someone back that trust and say, okay, you manage it, it's quite empowering to them. I think to offer, especially for women, if you've got women that are working at the top flexibly, it's a great message to send down, you know, to more junior members of the team to kind of say, look, these people are here doing it and living it, and this is what you can achieve, you know, if you stay at this business. You're going to retain your staff better because flexible working is quite hard to find still. Yeah. So if you're offering it, it's a massive perk. Shouldn't be a perk, but it is for lots of people.
So as you just touched on mental health there, you recently held a flexible working HR breakfast, which also addressed mental health. Could you tell us a little bit more about the event and like what it taught you?
Yeah, so we held an event specifically for HR people. There were some really, really big brands there, and they're from the fashion industry. And I kind of assumed that a lot of them would have flexible working policies in place, and the majority did not. And they didn't have mental health strategies as well, which was quite interesting because in kind of this modern world, I thought lots of these big, big companies would be on board with it. And flexible working is related to mental health. You know, because of the amount of overtime we do unpaid in the UK, it has a negative impact on our mental health. For lots of, you know, for people that do struggle, giving them that option to maybe go and do a yoga class or go for a run, which, you know, exercise obviously helps with your mental health, it can be a huge benefit. So there are lots of things that are related to one another when it comes to flexible working and mental health. And that's kind of what we touched on. And I had another expert there who was talking. She's the mental health expert. And so Elaine from Being Works was there, and she gave us a bit more insight into some strategies that they could put into place that could really help their workforce. And I think the main thing that came out of it was opening up conversations about things like this is really key within teams. And if you do know that, you know, a team member is struggling, to kind of talk about it and be open about it, because I think most of us have had some kind of mental health issues at some point, and it's nothing to be ashamed of, and it's better to kind of talk about it openly. And the same with flexible working. There's lots of people in lots of companies that are technically working flexibly but don't talk about it. So it's kind of, it doesn't help with kind of, you know, with the whole flexible working, if people are doing it but not actually communicating that to their teams.
So do you think if these companies who aren't currently offering flexible working, what do you think would happen if they did?
Well, I think they'd open up their talent pool a lot more. They'd have you know, they'd attract different types of candidates. I mean, through Daisy Chain, because we are mostly parents on the database, you know, the average age of a first-time mother, for example, is 30.2. That's nationwide. Very different in London. But you're kind of opening up your talent pool to someone who's already got a bit of experience. And you're kind of opening that conversation, saying that we understand that, you know, the challenges that you face at home, and we're embracing to it. So I think, yeah, being suddenly putting those words open to flex on a job spec, it's a big deal for lots of companies. They're really nervous to do it. But really, it's kind of just saying that we're open to talk about it. And I think also our candidates, any candidate asking for flexible work, has to be flexible as well. You can't kind of go in and dictate this is what I want, and not be flexible. We kind of always say that if you've got your list of priorities, put them in order, and you have to look at which ones you're not going to negotiate on. For example, it could be that you really do want to do school drop off. So I can't start till 10. So that has to be my number one on my list, but I can be flexible on maybe salary, or it could be on location of what days I work in the office, or you've got to have your key things that you want to stick to and then negotiate. So, because I really think that candidates need to be flexible too, as well as the employer.
Of course, it's not just a candidate driven.
No, it's not. I think, and a lot of, most of our candidates on the daisy chain are parents. So when the employers know that they're talking to those candidates, they pretty much know that there's got to be some flexibility around the childcare situation, which changes each year. So, you know, I've got two in school now and one not in school, but next September, all three will be in school. So then my times will change. And then maybe when my eldest is doing his GCSEs, I might decide, actually, I want to be at home more, or I want to be local more. It changes all the time.
So on the daisy chain, you have a range of jobs and companies you work with.
Yeah.
Could you expand a bit more on?
So we launched, like I said, with Savills and Knight Frank, which is brilliant. So we launched with them. We had no candidates when we launched, because it's kind of chicken and egg situation. So we had the employers that attracted the candidates. Our candidates are not from property necessarily. So the employers on our site are meeting, especially the property companies, are meeting candidates that have come from retail, hospitality, and meeting candidates that they probably would never have met via a recruitment agency specialising in property. But they do have to think slightly different about how they structure those roles. So it might not be, probably not going to be Monday to Friday, 9 till 5. So we launched, literally within the property industry, and then kind of we got a bit of press. We've got a really loyal kind of following on social media. And then we also teamed up with some really big bloggers, which has, opened us up even further to other employers in different sectors. So they're not worried about kind of hiring people just from their industry. So we've got some law firms, we've got marketing companies, we've got tech agencies, got retail brands. So we can kind of go into lots of different sectors because they want to just hire talent. And it's the same on the candidate side. They come from lots of different, we've got teachers on there, we've got lawyers, it's kind of quite a broad range of candidates.
So if I wanted a job and I required flexible time, how would I go about that? Would I go onto the daily chain? Are there recruiters on there? Or?
Yeah, so go on daily chain. Candidates can create a profile for free. They don't need to have a CV straight away. And they create a profile, and then daily chain, it's all done online. So we match and connect them to employers. And the parents in control of who they connect to our employers don't search candidates. So parents search the database and see what roles are there. There are other recruitment agencies out there that kind of specialise in flexible jobs. So there's a big one called Timewise, 9 to 3 days. So there are, Capability Jane is another one. So there's lots of part-time jobs out there as well. It's quite difficult to find these jobs that are advertised as flexible. I think a lot of employers, if someone, say, returns from maternity leave, then they are flexible and then they'll kind of sort out a new contract. So what we're trying to do that's different is say it from the outset on all your jobs, we can be flexible and just see what kind of talent you attract.
Amazing. So technology has quite clearly had a huger impact on the daisy chain and how it was created. What do you think is in store for the daisy chain with regards to technology?
Technology changes. I mean, we can do so much more. It can, we want to kind of get our tech so much better. And every day I'm thinking of new ways that we can improve things. And I'm not a techie person. tech is amazing, and even in the last 2 years it's come on a lot since when we even launched. There's so many more things we could do with our tech, which is why we are hopefully getting some investment, and we're going to spend it all on tech. It's nothing, fantastic. You know, that's what we see, because it's all tech driven. The tech has to be, you know, brilliant.
Okay. So what will the working environment look like in 10 years, do you think?
Well, I think there's always going to be offices and kind of people sitting at their desks. I don't think that's dramatically going to change. But I think there's going to be a lot more of these kind of working, you know, like WeWork spaces.
Yeah, going to be co-working is absolutely huge, isn't it?
There's going to be loads more. There's going to be so many more freelancers. The time, you know, we don't really live in a time anymore where someone gets a job and stays there for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's just not. And I think even looking at our, you know, my children, my eldest who's 10, the things he's learning at school is, you know, going to be a lot more useful to him than what I learned at school. So I think flexible working will kind of just be the norm, and I don't think people might not even call it flexible working. It might just be working.
Standard working, hopefully.
Yeah.
So what have you learned since launching the Daisy Chain?
I think I've learned that, you know, there are some employers out there that are really forward thinking, and you kind of envisage them not to be, and they might be stuck in their ways. But actually, when you go and talk to them and see how they work internally, they are really kind of forward thinking. I've kind of really been surprised. I knew that we would attract some real talent from the candidates, but actually seeing them, it's actually been quite amazing. Some of the people that join, and you just think, I can't believe that they, you know, that they are not employed at the moment, or, you know, not are still looking for something, because the talent out there is, it's quite incredible. And the other thing I've really learned is how people who don't work in recruitment or HR really want to help women.
Amazing.
When I worked in recruitment, I don't know if it's the word recruitment, but people kind of don't really want to help all that much. Whereas with Daisy Chain, I've met some amazing women and men that have really helped, and they don't want to think back. They just kind of feel that it's quite a, you know, it's something they're passionate about as well, and they kind of want to help, which
course.
Is amazing. And met some, and, you know, being up for the awards is brilliant. And so, yeah, I think that's definitely something I've learned that over the last 2 years I didn't think would happen.
Did you expect the Daisy Chain to lift off or be as successful as it is?
Oh, I don't know. Well, we could be more successful, but I think, I don't know, really. I envisaged it would be, and I think I have to think like that in my, you know, my head, that it would, because I knew that there's the candidates out there, and it's hard to find the employees. They're not like rushing forward, you know, with open arms, but it takes a bit of selling.
Yeah, it really does.
But I often just think in my head that it's the candidates that are really selling Daisy Chain. If it wasn't for them, then it wouldn't be going. So.
Yeah, of course. Great. So thanks, Louise. We're just going to end with a few questions, which we do ask all our listeners. So quick speed round: fish and chips or a Chinese takeaway?
Chinese takeaway.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
Yoga or spin?
Yogi. Yeah, I'm a yogi.
In the office or working from home?
Work from home.
Yeah. And if you could own any property or building in the world, what would it be and what would you do with it?
Well, I would want to buy a amazing villa in Ibiza. It would have to be on a beach, so I could wake up every morning and just look at the sea. And I'd just live in it. I wouldn't do anything with it. I haven't really thought about how the logistics would work with the children, but
just enjoy it, because
they'll have to go to school.
Yeah.
But, I envisage just kind of laying around and just
amazing. Well deserved it would be.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time, Louise.
If you
did want to note more information, just head to the Daisy Chain, or you can follow them on Instagram, LinkedIn, or go straight to their website. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
can join the DS movement by visiting ds.devrilsmith.com, and you will receive the latest DevCast episode direct to your inbox.